This is Scott Stanley with DTG Ministries. We're continuing to look at the fifth trumpet in Revelation chapter 9. In order to build on this and continue the Revelation 9 study, I want to step back and look at the horses in the seals one more time. I want to take a closer look at those to give you insight into these locusts. The horses in Revelation 6, when we look at these seals, just to quickly step through it, you have 24 elders. Six is the number of a man. 24 elders, there's four men. Each man is on a horse. What God is describing for us in the seals are the steps of one person. This is one person going from white, red, black, pale horse. Each horse is what is motivating him. The horse is something that carries the rider. What is carrying the rider is his motivation. And I want to make a point. Because this apostasy began in the days of the apostles, it will end at the second coming of Christ. When we gave our heart to the Lord, we were in the apostasy and didn't know it. The churches we went to, they were in the apostasy. How do I know? The apostasy denies the Father and Son in eternity and denies Christ came in the flesh or without an understanding of God. John's description of Antichrist. So we decide we want to serve God, and Christ depicts that. I should say the Father depicts that in Revelation 6 as you or I getting on the white horse, given the bow, going forth conquering and to conquer. Well, the bow, to me, points back to the flood and the rainbow. And the flood was a picture of how iniquity covers the earth. You have water from heaven coming down, the rain, and the water breaks up and comes up from the earth. You've got heavenly water and earthly water creating a flood. The bow was a symbol that the Lord would not allow the iniquity to cover the earth like that. Well, he won't in a believer. Remember Romans 3:22, if his righteousness, his truth is offered to everyone, but it's only upon the guy who believes it. So if you believe the truth, the covenant he makes with you is he will not allow iniquity to cover you. He's going to give you a way through that iniquity. It's the cross. The cross is a depiction of the result of iniquity and how you overcome it. The horses in Revelation, then, are depicting the fella in apostasy as he works his way through what he has been taught, the apostasy. So you're on a white horse. You go forth conquering and to conquer. You have the bow. So you know the Lord is going to straighten you out. The problem is you don't let him help you do that. You think the Bible is going to give you all the truth and change the way you're thinking. Well, I think like the world. Well, I'll read the Bible and I'll think like God. Well, it doesn't work like that. God is going to have to be the one to help you understand that book. And if you're not asking, you're going to find yourself on a red horse instead of a white. The red horse is given the great sword, which is the Bible. Hence, he begins to interpret the Bible according to his own definitions, which causes the horse to turn black. The wheat and the barley, you're weighing the wheat and the barley. That's how you make bread. It's just another picture of the Bible itself. and you put one verse more important than another verse, depending on how you're seeing it. Who's teaching you? Are you being told that if you have the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to speak in tongues? Well, the tongues verses will mean a lot more to you. What about, I have to go to church on Saturday. I have to keep the Sabbath. Well, then the Sabbath verses and the law verses are going to have more meaning to you. And that is probably what you'll be teaching your friends and relatives and anybody who will listen. You got to speak in tongues. You got to keep the Sabbath. You've got to this. You've got to that. You've got your understanding. You're on a black horse. The horse turns pale. In each horse, it is a natural progression that we all go through. On each horse, your motivation is to serve God. If you weren't wanting to serve God, you wouldn't have gotten on the white horse. If you weren't wanting to serve God, you wouldn't even pick up a Bible and start reading it. If you were not wanting to serve God, you wouldn't put one verse above another. Then it turns pale, and Christ is not in anything you're doing, and you cry out for help. The Lord steps in and shows you your sun's black, your moon, the Bible is red, the stars need to fall to the earth, close the heavens, and you go through Revelation chapter 7, where he redeems all of that thinking. He shows you the truth about tongues, the truth about the Sabbath, the truth about all of it. He redeems it. He doesn't take it away. He redeems it, leaving you with the truth that heals you, or the 144,000 truths. What does that have to do with the locust? In Revelation chapter 9, verse 7, the shapes of the locusts were like horses. Let me tell you, and it isn't just horses, it's horses prepared to battle. That's their motivation. What? They've been given the gospel. These people were told the gospel. But in their apostasy, wanting to defend their apostasy from the truth of the gospel, they reach for the star, fallen to the earth. It opens their abyss. Out come locusts from the smoke of their anger. What are the locusts? They're shaped like horses. Their motivation then is to battle and defend the apostasy that they're in. That's their motivation. And since we're on this level, let me say that until the truth of the gospel is given to the person, the particular locust that we're seeing in Revelation 9 are not there. These locusts are to come against the truth of the gospel. More than likely, people today have not yet heard the truth of the gospel. They're only hearing their apostasy. It's true that people argue among each other, but what we're reading in Revelation 9 is a response to the gospel given, a response to the trumpet. Until that trumpet sounds, we're not going to see these locusts. The motivation here for the wicked is to come against the truth of the gospel. So these horses are prepared unto battle. I'm reading Revelation 9, verse 7. On their heads were crowns like gold, and their faces are the faces of men. I want to touch on this just for a second. If you'll look at Revelation 4:4, looking at the elders, they have crowns of gold. In Revelation 4:5, those four living creatures and the elders have already been redeemed at that point of the story. When Christ is opening the seals, you're seeing them before they were redeemed. When you turn to Revelation 4 and 5, they have been redeemed. So before they were redeemed, we see the effect that they're having on you. From white to red to black to pale, your motivation is to serve God, but you are changing because you're not hearing the truth. You're not being redeemed from iniquity. What does he mean then when he says, crowns like gold? Well, there's a picture, I believe, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to start reading at verse 1. This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. That word false accuser in chapter 2, verse 26 is translated devil. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Why is this so perilous? Verse 5, because it's the church. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the ability of God. From such turn away. This he is describing what you're reading in Revelation 9 with these locusts having crowns like gold. See, they have a form of godliness and they are denying the ability of God. What ability? I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and just touch on this. This is too rich. You can't just walk past these things. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want to start reading at verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What? That the God of Jesus. There's a Godhead verse right there. The God of Jesus, the Father of glory. He is saying, I pray that he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. What do you think knowledge of him is? If I can look at the cross and say, well, this is depicting the wisdom of God, the hidden wisdom. This is showing us the iniquity that we all have, the iniquity we're in, and the result of that iniquity, and how to overcome the iniquity. That's the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God you and I want is the knowledge he has of us so that he can correct it. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. When he talks about having like precious faith, we'll add to that faith moral excellence, virtue. Well, what's next? Knowledge. What knowledge? Well, the next is temperance. That's self-control. Well, is this self-knowledge? Yes. But it's God's knowledge of you. Your self-knowledge is meaningless. You want the way he is seeing you so that you can have temperance and overcome it. So here, he is saying, I pray that the God of Jesus will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of his knowledge. His knowledge is what you see at the cross. What you see at the cross is yourself. The eyes of your understanding will then be enlightened, and you'll know the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? Titus 2:14. Christ gave himself to redeem you from all iniquity. That is the hope of God's calling you, that you can apply the cross and overcome all iniquity. So, the eyes of your understanding, when you have the knowledge of God, Well, open your eyes and you'll see the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The glory of God, to make you like God, to make you in the image of Christ. But now notice the next part, verse 19, Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his ability toward us who believe? What did you just read in 2 Timothy? Three perilous times are going to come. They will deny the ability of God. Paul's prayer is that you would experience the ability of God. You experience the ability of God, you're being set free from all iniquity. The church today, the universal churches, deny the ability of God to set you free from all sin. Again, I was told repeatedly, when he gives me a new body, I'll be free from sin. Well, looking back at Revelation 9, they have crowns like gold. Faces of men point back to the third horse in Revelation, the black horse, where he's weighing the verses. He's a Pharisee. One verse is more important than another. He has the face of a man. Notice in verse 8, Revelation 9:8, they had their hair as the hair of women, meaning they're in subjection to other men. Their teeth are the teeth of lions, which is pride. He is describing the universal church, perilous times, because these people claim to be serving God. What you're reading here is how God sees them. God is the one who gave this revelation of Christ. God gave this. This is how he is seeing what's going on. Remember, the seals, you couldn't do anything but get on a white horse, turn red, black, pale. That is just natural. You're wanting to serve God, but you don't know the truth. No one has told you the truth. So you go through that process. But once the truth is given, and you deny it, your denial of the true gospel is seen in the fifth and sixth trumpets. That horse is now a locust that looks like a horse. The locust is what is motivating you to fight against the truth. Notice in Revelation 9:9, they had breastplates as breastplates of iron. That breastplate covers the heart. And remember in Joel 2, the Lord would have you rend your heart, not your garment. If somebody shows you the way you're acting toward your husband or wife or kids or whatever, that this is iniquity, and you say, oh, okay, you know, I'll change that. Well, you've just rent your garment. The fella who will go to God and fall on his knees and say, dear God, I see the way I'm treating her. I see the way I'm treating people. Can you please show me the iniquity that's in my heart that's causing me to do that? Now you're rending your heart. Well, these guys have breastplates of iron. They're not going to rend their heart. They have the sound of their wings is the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Chariots were war wagons. That's used for war. They're not here to get along with you and work things out with you. They're here to destroy the truth of the gospel. Again, this can't happen until they hear the gospel. The Lord is giving you a prophecy of what is coming at you. This is what it's going to be like. Verse 10, they have tails like scorpions, and their stings are in their tails, and their authority is to hurt men 5 months. Again, 5 months points back to the flood and the iniquity that covered the earth. Isaiah 9:15 will describe the tails as false prophets. As we get on in to the next trumpet, you're going to see the horses have heads and tails. Isaiah 9:15 covers that. The ancient and honorable is the head. The prophet that teaches lies is the tail. And the Lord has given you the warning. They had tails like scorpions or rebellious people. And their sting is in their tail, which points back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read starting at verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is, King James puts sin, but the definite article is there. It's the sin. And when it has the definite article, it's talking about iniquity. The sting of death is iniquity. Well, wait a minute. You mean literal death? No. Spiritual death. When you're in the apostasy and you're not understanding why the cross, really, the people in apostasy, they don't know who Christ is or why he died. They don't know either one of those things. They're in iniquity. They're workers of iniquity. Remember the message to Sardis, the church of Sardis, you have a name that you're living, but you're dead. It's not physical death, it's spiritual death. Here, the sting of being spiritually dead is the iniquity that you're carrying. Your spiritual death stings you with the iniquity that is coming out of your mouth. And the ability of iniquity is the law. So we're looking at Pharisees. You're looking at people who are putting their own interpretation to the Bible. And they can use the law to do it or the teachings to do it. Again, the sting of being spiritually dead is the iniquity you're in. The ability of your iniquity is found in the law. The way they're interpreting the book. What did they do when they heard the truth? They reached for the angel, fallen to the earth. It opens the abyss. Out come the locusts from the smoke of anger. The locusts are here to do battle. They're here having crowns like gold. They're here to deny the ability of God, which is what the gospel declares, the ability of God. This is who Christ is. This is what happened on the cross. This is what it depicts. This is how you are set free from it, and they will deny it all day long. But the locusts haven't happened yet because they haven't heard the truth of the gospel. When they do, the Lord has given you the warning, hey, perilous times shall come. Watch out. This is what it looks like to our Heavenly Father. Revelation 9:11, they had a king over them, which is the angel or the messenger of the abyss, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. And the Abaddon and Apollyon, it means destruction, destroys others, or the destroyer. Who would that be? It sounds like Satan to me. Why? Well, Satan is the author of iniquity. And this is who people are listening to. The author of iniquity. Adversity within the human heart. Instead of receiving the truth as it is in Jesus Christ, instead of standing with the Savior, they want to stand loyal to that denomination. They have their heads and tails, their false prophets. They have their ancients and honorables in their church, and they're going to stand with them. I think of Jesus Christ being beaten and bloody, and he is standing there. He had been asked, "Are you the Son of God?" And he said, "I am." And they turned him over to Pilate, who scourged him. And now, here's your chance. There he is, standing there, beaten and bloody, and are you going to stand with him or stand with Pilate and Caiaphas? Who do you stand with? Well, I believe he's the Son of God. I believe God is his Father. And I believe God will give me an understanding of myself, allowing me to experience the riches of his character, allowing me to experience the ability that he gives toward us who believe, that he used when he raised Christ from the dead. That very ability can remove iniquity from your heart. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? What is the most important thing to you? Is it to overcome sin? Well, look at your life. Look at your church. And answer that question. Are they helping me overcome sin? Are they helping me overcome iniquity? Christ gave himself to redeem us from all iniquity, Titus 2:14. What are you going to do with the truth that he has depicted on that cross? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are serving you, and there's nothing that even compares to knowing the truth and applying it in our lives. May you be forever glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.